was blood to be shed for the forgiveness of sins. And we have heard that over and over and over again, that especially our Lord and Savior, that he has shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. But as we find throughout the Old Testament, from the beginning, that blood was to be shed and sacrifices were to be made for sin. And do you remember the first time that blood was shed as a sacrifice for sin? We can go to Genesis in the 3rd chapter, the 21st verse. And it says, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord make coats of skins and clothe them. The Lord, he had to kill an animal, and his blood was shed for these skins of covering because of sin. You remember in the Garden of Eden how Adam and Eve fell, and because of sin, then they had to have these coverings made. And as these things continued, and then it brings us to this place in Exodus, and I think most of us can clearly remember from the time of Moses, his birth, and the daughter of Pharaoh who found him in the basket and raised him as her own son, and Moses who was in the house of the Pharaoh, much highly looked up to. And then there was a call from God to Moses that he would go and that he would speak to the Pharaoh, that he would release his people. As we know, the Israelites had been in Egypt for 430 years. And we could go through and we could listen and read about the much suffering that they had gone through. We remember when the taskmaster had beaten that one slave, Israelite slave. And then Moses, he killed that taskmaster. And so from that point on, then Moses was no more found in favor with the Pharaoh. And as God led Moses to that place where him and his brother Aaron would lead the people out of Egypt, we find that Moses and Aaron, they went to the Pharaoh and asked that they could be let go. And we remember there were 10 plagues that were placed upon Egypt. But what we are going to focus on more tonight is the 10th plague, the last one. And that is found in Exodus in the 12th chapter. And we're going to read verses 1 through 42. It is quite lengthy, and most of it we won't look into, but we will have heard it and read it as it puts this all into context. So we read in Jesus' name. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make their count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of their houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste, for it is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token unto the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you, when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first night ye shall put away leavened bread out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation. And in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation. To you no manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eat that which is leaven, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leaven in all your habitations, shall ye eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of this house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when ye be come to the land, which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians, and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away, and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon. and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. Also, take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also." And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, "We be all dead men." And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. And they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men beside children. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. And they baked unleavened bread cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victuals. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. That is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. Amen. We find that this time that this is more of a complete part of this last plague that was placed on Egypt. It is more of the first Passover that was instituted. But it is good to note that these people, these Egyptian people, they had 9 different plagues placed upon them. And you can go back in your own time and read those if you don't know them. And each one of them was very sorrowful to the people of Egypt. But God, or the Lord, he told Moses each time that to do this, and when this plague has come upon Egypt, that Pharaoh, he will first tell Moses that they can go. But then every time, the Lord tells Moses, but Pharaoh will harden his heart and not let the people go. And then we come to this 10th plague that was placed upon Egypt. And it is the plague of the death of the firstborn. And you heard so plainly how it was that Moses and Aaron, as instructed by God, told the Israelites that they must kill a lamb or a sheep, whatever it was, or even a goat. But they would take the blood and they would mark their doors of their houses. And there would be no death on that night when the Lord came. But we, as we go through this, we recognize that this is the, as we call it today, the old covenant. And we know that there is a new covenant, which we will come to in the end. But this old covenant, It has so many parts to it. It has so much that we, in our day, cannot maybe even comprehend what the people went through. But it was quite interesting how Moses, I suppose it was of God's revelation, but Moses understood what was taking place here. There were these things that he understood. He understood the depth of the depravity of man. He understood the seriousness of people's sin. Sometimes I think maybe more than we do today. He understood the extent of God's wrath. And he understood the depth of God's love. And also the need that they had and we have for a redeeming Savior. And also Moses understood, as happened in the beginning in the garden, that sin had to be shed for the forgiveness of sin. And it has been from the beginning until our Lord and Savior went to the cross on Calvary. Sin was only covered by the shedding of blood. And also, as we remember, and we could go through, especially this Old Testament, and we can read over and over of the sacrifices that were made, the sacrifices that the priests or the high priest would make. And we can find then of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he made, the shedding of his blood. And we remember when John saw Jesus, when he recognized who Jesus was, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." John did not just say, "Behold, there is our Savior," but he said, "Behold the Lamb of God," recognizing that Christ Jesus would be a sacrifice. But as we remember our Lord and Savior, we remember the suffering that he suffered for us. And when we come to the Lord's Supper, we partake of that sacrifice. It is much more than just a tradition or something that we do, but we are partaking of this sacrifice of this Passover lamb. It is through that sacrifice of Christ Jesus that our sins are forgiven. It is no longer, and we will even read it later, where the blood of bulls and goats will no longer cover sin, but it is only Christ Jesus' blood. We find that Moses, as he explained this blood sacrifices that were made for sin, and why it was that blood would be the sacrifice, we understand that life of the flesh is in the blood. It is blood in our flesh which gives us life, or even in the animals. And I want to go to Leviticus and read one verse, in the 17th chapter, in the 11th verse. says here, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for your souls." So we see that even as this sacrifice was made, the blood that was put on the doorpost and the lintels of the houses of the Israelites, that it was life that was given. And we hear it more often, and we understand the life that is given through Christ Jesus. And that life is given through his shed blood. It is his sacrifice that gives us life, because our sins are forgiven. They are covered in the blood of Christ Jesus. And then, as we know, through his resurrection, we also live. As Moses and Aaron, they were given from the Lord the instructions of what was to take place. And we're not going to read all these verses again that we've already read. But there was instructions on how the sacrifice was to take place and the things that must be done. And then verse 11 says, "And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste, for it is the Lord's Passover." This Passover that was to take place, it was, those people were to be ready. They would have a belt about their waist. They would have their shoes on their feet and their staff in their hand, and they would be ready when the Lord would come and pass over their house, that they would be ready to depart from that house. And it says, then, "And ye shall eat it in haste, for it is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord." And then verse 13, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you." That is a promise that God has made. When he sees the blood, that he would pass over these Israelites. But much more, when he sees us washed in the blood of his Son, he sees no sin. It is covered in the blood of Christ Jesus. And as we hear so often, that Jesus, he is there. He is there with his Father making intercession for us. That is covering us with his blood. And then we don't want to stay at this place where there is so much death, shedding of blood, but that we would continue on. And we are going to go to the New Testament, where we will hear of the Last Supper, found in Matthew in the 26th chapter. In chapters 26, verse 17. And this is when Jesus is having the Last Supper with his disciples. And I might just back up for a moment. And we have heard now of the first Passover, when it was instituted by God, and how the Israelite people were saved through that first Passover. but it told us that the Passover would be forever. And we might wonder, well, how is it that we no longer observe the Passover? But we do in the Lord's Supper. We still observe the Passover. God passes over our sin through his Son and his shed blood, which we receive and partake of at the Lord's Supper. But we'll read verse 17. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread of the disciples came to Jesus. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? We find that even now at this Last Supper, which we know was just days before the death of Jesus, that he was there for the Passover. We can look in Luke, the second chapter, and we can find there where Jesus, we remember the story quite well. It is the only time from as a baby until he began his ministry that it is spoken of Jesus. And we find it in the second chapter, verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. We find that all these years later, this Passover was still being observed. And it was, as Luke tells us there, that it was every year they went to the Passover. And now Jesus here in Matthew is telling us of this Last Supper that they were to have at the Passover. And he said, go into the city to such a man, and saying unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand, I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. This is a recording, as it is found by Matthew, of the Last Supper, the last Passover that Jesus would have with his disciples. And as we have heard earlier, that this ordinance of the Passover was to be observed, as it says, forever. And it is seemingly that we might say, well, we no longer observe the Passover. And it says forever. And we know that means till Judgment Day when Jesus returns. And after that, will be no more time. And so this Passover that we are to partake of, we now find a new covenant. But it is still observing the Passover. But it is a new covenant. And now I want to just One more place we'll go to, found in Hebrews. In the 9th chapter, beginning in verse 15, and this is, it says here, the sacrifice of Christ establishes the new covenant. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the new covenant, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, that they which might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. We find the Hebrew writer as he explains this new covenant of Christ Jesus as the sacrificial lamb. As he says in the 22nd verse, "For without shedding of blood is no remission or no forgiveness." We find that forgiveness of sin is found in the shedding of blood. And oh, that we can remember as we come to the Lord's Supper that we are coming there in this new covenant to receive the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of our sins. To that end, may the Lord bless these words. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us give thanks and pray. Gracious and eternal God, we give thanks unto you for your Son Jesus. We give thanks unto you for the love which you have given to us, shown unto us. We give thanks that you have made known unto us of our forgiven sins through that sacrificial lamb, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We give thanks unto you, Father, for that which you have brought us to this place, where you have made each one of us saints, and as the scriptures tells us, kings and priests. As undeserving as we may be, we know that Christ Jesus has paid the price for us. We know that the price has been paid for your wrath that has come upon man, and that you look on us with love. You look on us and you say, "Come unto me," and we await that day when Christ Jesus comes to take each one of us home to be with you. Father, we ask that you would continue to be with each one of us, that your Spirit would live and abide within each one of us. We ask, God, that you would be here even this night in this congregation and continually as your will is, that you would be the one who would speak the word of truth in this congregation, and wherever the people are that would gather in your name, that you would be there and that you would show them of your undying love. Father, we give all glory and honor unto you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.